Recording in progress.
Good morning. Welcome to everyone who's here. Welcome to those listening on Torah Anytime. Today's learning should be a zechus for the neshama of Chaya Basya Bas Leib. The learning, the inspiration, she should have great pride in lichtige Gan Eden and deris yisharim of Urachim, and only good things for the mishpacha. Okay, the Zerah Kodesh for Parshas Chaya Yisara is going to push us to a little bit of a deeper understanding of things. Some of this can get a little complicated, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But let me begin by starting with a couple of introductions. First of all, when we learn the parasha, we learn these parashias as children, and we come to understand these stories, and that's important. But when we learn them as children, we only learn them on the level of children. And then unfortunately, many people grow up, and that's all they still understand these parashias, is on the level that they understood it in elementary school. Which is good, because halavai, we should all take all the lessons and all the teachings that we've learned and absorb those. How great people we would be if we only, were just what we were actually taught. But we know that as we get older, we're supposed to understand this on a deeper level. And a great example of this is the story of Eliezer going to find a wife for Yitzchak, to find Rivka. Because if we read this, and we do read this on a simple level, that Avram can't go, Yitzchak can't go, so they send Eliezer as a messenger. Eliezer doesn't know what to look for, so he does a test, and it comes out, Yata Deshmaya, hooray, it's a Shidduch Mazel Tov. That's how we all read the parsha, a little more longer than that, but essentially that's the point. But if you think about it for a second, why does this happen that Hashem wants that Avram and Yitzchak can't go and Eliezer has to go? Number two, if you keep looking in the parsha, you'll see that all the tests are whether Rivka is fitting to be someone in the house of Abraham. That's what everyone... There doesn't seem to be much mention. I mean, there's a little also achachta, but most of it seems to be about testing her to see whether she's fit for the house of Abraham. Isn't she supposed to be for the house of Yitzchak? There's a few other elements, but primarily I'm just going to add one question, and then we'll go straight into the Zerah Kodesh, which is, if you look in the Parsha, there seems to be a mention, and this is where I think all of us kind of have to realize that there's a lot more going on in the Parsha. When Avram first sends Eliezer, he says to him, Hashem, Elokei HaShemayim, Hashem, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the place that I was born. Who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, I will give you the land. Hu yishlach malacho lefanecha, he will send an angel before you, Eliezer. Don't you worry. So you don't... He will send an angel before you, so you... The pasuk says that Hashem says to... Avram says to Eliezer, Hashem will send a malach before you, and he will help you succeed. And then later, when Eliezer tells over the story to the family, Vayomer Eli, and Avram said to me, Hashem es alachti l'fanav, yishlach malacho itach, he will send his angel with you. V'hitzliach darkecho. Where is this angel? So, the Shlach HaKadosh, Yishai Alevi Horowitz, who lived in the 16th century, the holy Shnei Luchas Habris, the Shlach HaKadosh, explains at length, and the Zerah Kodesh is kind of going to be working with that, that actually, if you look throughout the parsha, you'll see there's these switches between the word Eved and the word Ish. And he basically explains that as much as that's happening in the world below, there's so much more happening in the world above. And whenever you see the word Eved, it really refers to Eliezer himself. But whenever it says the word Ish, it's really referring to the angels above. And he has a whole way of reading the parasha. And I would say, really, to understand all of this Torah, you have to see the Shlah in this week's parasha, where he explains this. But we'll just go with the idea that we understand that there are malachim involved here, and the story of Eliezer going to find a wife for Rivka is actually a much deeper story. So let's dive in. The Medrash. This is on page Mem Dalad. If you can see behind it. Vayomer Hashem Elokei Adoni Avram Hakreina Lefanai Hayom Vasei Chesed Im Adoni. He's referring to the tefillah that Eliezer davens during this process. Says the Medrash, and this is the Medrash Rabbah, Zesh Amar HaKosov, Eved Maskil, Yimshol Bevein Mevish. This is a pasuk in Mishle. The pasukim in Mishle are referring to that sometimes a servant who is wise can outsmart a shameful child. So says the Medrash, Eved Maskil, the wise servant, the wise slave, Ze Eliezer, that's a reference to Avraham, to Eliezer. Umau hayo askalaso, and what was so smart about him? What was so smart about him was because Eliezer said, and I'm filling in the Medrash here, Eliezer said, I could be a slave anywhere because his family had been cursed that they would be Eved Avadim. So he was smart by turning himself into one of the greatest people of the generation by becoming a slave to Avraham Avinu, and he became Dolo Mashka, became like the Rosh Hashiva in Avraham's house. Yimshol b'ben mevish, he will rule over the child who's shameful. Ze Yitzchak dat Yitzchak. Now, why is he shameful? It's the other way around. Shebiyesh es kala umos b'shash neged agabi hamizbeach. He shamed all the other nations when he offered himself on the mizbeach as a carbon to Hashem. So Eliezer, who is the wise servant, somehow rules over Yitzchak. B'soch achim yachaluk nachla. And Besoch Yisrael amongst the Jewish people, Ma Elu Maskiran Zechus Avos. So just like when we daven, we say, we actually start our Shmon Esra by saying, Hashem, Baruch Atah, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And what we're really trying to say to Hashem is, I am the son of Avraham, I am the son of Yitzchak, I am the son of Yaakov. We're invoking with Zechus Avos. So says the Medrash, look at Eliezer. Eliezer is also invoking the Zechus Avos. Vayomer, he says, Hashem, Elokei Adoni Avram, the God of my master Abraham, Hakrin Elfana, give me success. That means he's invoking the merit of Abraham as if he's part of the Jewish people able to invoke the merit of Abraham. That's what the Medrash says. So the Zohar Kodesh is going to try to explain, what does this mean that Eliezer is outsmarting Yitzchak? What's happening here? And he's going to explain to us the process of the real process of finding a shidduch for Yitzchak, not what it looked like in this world with camels and water, but how it translates in the upper realms. Okay, so hine, bara Hashem yizbarach elamai lehetiv lenivrav. Hashem created this world for one reason. This is the primary reason given. Because Hashem is tov, umetiv, Hashem is good and benevolent, and in order for Hashem to be benevolent, there have to be creations to receive that benevolence. Now we know, before creation, Hashem has no names. Within creation, Hashem created midos, attributes, the divine attributes. And these divine attributes, so to speak, are the names of Hashem. So what's the first name of Hashem to come into being? I don't know these things. I'm just reading what the Zohar Kodesh says. What's the first name to then apply? You would think, but no. He says, because we're talking here, Kesha'ala Beretzono HaPashut. You're talking about Elokim when Hashem started to create the world. But Kesha'ala Beretzono HaPashut, when Hashem decided that He wants to create the world, what name of Hashem is that? So he says, at that point, Hayinikra Shema Yizbarach Ekiah. Aleph Hey, Yud Hey, which literally translates as I will be. Because Hashem's midos are not yet manifest, and so the first name of Hashem that so to speak in the thoughts of creation, the first name is Ekia Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Sha'amar Hashem Yisbarach, because Hashem is saying, Ever on Nibraim, I will create creations. Ve'ei Elohem le'elokim u'le'etivam, and I will be for them a God, and I will do good for them. The next thing Hashem does is actually create the world. Now, the name associated with the creation of the world, even though we have Elohim that's using creation, but that's the process of creation. But Hashem being God over the entire universe is the concept of Ha'yahovah v'yiyah. So Hashem Yisbarach Kalavaya. So Hashem then brought all existence into being, and then we'll see that's the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then when Hashem finishes the creation of the world, now we have people, and Hashem is king of the world. Nasa Adon Yisbarach Shemo Al Kol Amasa. Then Hashem becomes master over all creation. V'nasa Yidei Zechibur. So those are the three names of Hashem: Echiyah and Havaya. And Adoshem, those three names represent Hashem before creation, the process of creation, and the realm, this world that we live in, when we can't even say the name Yudke Vavke, we can only say the name Aleph Dalet, that's the name, so to speak, within creation. And what happens is, this is very, very complicated ideas, but we're used to hearing a very simplified understanding that Hashem wanted to create the world with the attribute of judgment. He saw that the world could not survive, so Hashem therefore added the attribute of mercy. That's not how it starts. That's closer to the end. Originally, what did Hashem want to create the world? Just good. Right? Just good. I'm going to create the world and bestow just good upon everyone. The problem is, that's unearned good. It's not real good. It's called nama de kisufa. It's called shameful bread. So Hashem has to create this world of challenge and judgment. So so the same process happens. So the name, that concept that there needs to be challenges and judgment in this world is going to be associated with the name Adoshem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which you can see means din or mastership. So ubezen nimtiku kol hagevuros shel Adoshem, meaning when you connect all the shemos of Hashem, when you realize that even bad things that happen to you in life are all within the calculation of all the things that Hashem needs to do in order to bestow pure goodness upon you, when you realize that, that sweetens the judgments. And that's what we're meant to do all of our life, is when, specifically when bad things happen, is that we should see the good within it, and we should sweeten that judgment, and when we see judgment, we should turn that into kindness. That's always what we're supposed to try to do in this world. So he says, the way we do it, Kabbalistically speaking, is Ayideh Chibur HaShemes Shal Rachmim, is by connecting Ekia, which is a name of mercy, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is a name of mercy, to Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is a name of judgment, and we sweeten it. You're hearing all these shemes, you're wondering, what does this have to do with the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka? We'll get there. But first you have to understand what's happening in the upper world. So he explains, now why is the name Ekia, Aleph Hey, Yud Hey, why is that a name of mercy? So he explains, this is not for us to know, so he just tells us, because Ekia means there will be a world. Hashem will be the God. Hashem will be Hashem over the world. And in that world, we, none of us deserve. None of us are entitled. None of us are worthy. We're human beings. We're lowly. Even the biggest tzaddikim in the world are not really entitled. So then why are we all sustained? Why are we doing, like, why is the world still thriving? The answer is because Hashem's mercy is greater than whatever we're capable of ruining. Right? Whatever bad you can do, Hashem's mercy is greater than that because Hashem has The 13, the Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachmim, the 13 attributes of mercy, those are attributes of mercy that overcome any judgment, even if a person's not deserving. Einan Chozers Rekam, when we daven and we invoke the 13 attributes of mercy, Hashem listens to that. So the name Ekia means I will be, is actually the source. Hashem says there's going to be a world, I'm going to shower them with goodness regardless. That's the source for the 13 attributes of mercy. Kishem Ekia hu makor ha-yud gimel midas ha-rachmim. It's the source of the 13 attributes of mercy. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? And Hashem says to him, Chanosi es asher achon. Hashem says, I will give graciousness to whoever I give graciousness to. Human beings are not capable of making these calculations. It'll always look like bad things are happening to good people and good things are happening to bad people. But Hashem knows what He's doing. And so Hashem, through the 13 attributes of mercy, provides for us. Even when we're not deserving. So whenever there's a judgment in the world, some kind of bad thing that needs to happen, a person should never say, Hashem, remember all the mitzvahs I've done, please let life be good. That's not how it works. You think you deserve. Rather, we say to Hashem, we're not deserving, but you're so merciful. Right? We invoke the 13 attributes of mercy. Draw down and say to Hashem, I don't deserve, but you're more merciful than what I deserve. And when you do that, you can sweeten all the judgments, Shel Shem Ad Hashem, which is associated with the name Ad Hashem. So number one, concept number one, is that there's a name of Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the name we say, which is associated with judgment. We call that the name Ad Hashem. It's associated with judgment, and that's what we say because we can understand judgment. But we should know that above that is the name Yudke Vavke, which is where Hashem is beyond time and space. And Ekia, which is Hashem says, I'm going to be God over the world, and I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to do good for you beyond what you deserve. When we can connect to those midas of Hashem, we can overcome the judgment of Hashem. V'zeh sha'omrim, and this is why we say on Shabbos morning, Kel Adon al kol ha'amasim. Kel, you are God, the Mighty One. Adon, who is Master, al kol ha'amasim, over all everything that happens in this world. Meaning, shekamo shebe'es habriyah, just like at the time of creation. Nimtak shem Ad Hashem, the name Ad Hashem aleph dalet nun yud, which means judgment, was overcome, because judgment wouldn't have really allowed our world to be the way it is. But it was overcome, al yidei yud gimel midas harachmim, to Hashem's 13 attributes of mercy. What's the first of Hashem's attributes of mercy? You're going into the Arizal. She'ikra n'makor matchalasun Hashem Kel. Hashem is not from the 13 attributes of mercy according to the Arizal. It starts from the word Kel. So when we say Kel Adon al kalamasim, we're davening Hashem. Kenan erotz namshich tamid chesed. Kel chalamidos Kel, meaning the 13 attributes of mercy. That should be Adon al kol ha'amasim, ulebechinas Hashem adnos. That's how Hashem should run the world, because on Shabbos we have the power to daven that the world shouldn't run according to the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is judgment, but rather through the name Kel, which is the first of the 13 attributes of mercy, through the name Ekya, etc. So he says, v'zeh haya tefilaso shel Eliezer. This is the tefillah of Eliezer. Lahamtik adinem, because he too has to sweeten the judgment. Ki yadua, we know, she Yitzchak midas adin. Yitzchak represents the attribute of judgment. And let me interrupt this thing, get into this a little bit. We know Avram represents Chesed, Yitzchak represents Gevura, Yaakov represents Tiferes, and we think it stops there. But all of us are also a combination of midos, of all different permutations, of all the different midos. And just like Yitzchak represented judgment, and in order for him to be married, as we'll see, that judgment needs to be sweetened, so too, when any time that someone is in this world, when you have too much judgment, your judgment also needs to be sweetened. Right? This is the idea that we believe, that a holy yid is not someone who says, this is the way I am, this is the way I'm made, and therefore it must be the way I should be, but is always working on their midos, things that we have to, things we want to be better about ourselves. And so Yitzchak represented this gevura, and as we'll see, that gevura is going to be tempered by the introduction of Rivka, but we'll get there. So he says, Yitzchak is midas adin, l'chein Eliezer Omer, so that's what Eliezer says. V'haya hanara asher omer, to the young girl that I shall say, she will say to me, drink. V'gam l'gamalacha asher, and also, for your camels I will draw, osa hochachta, that's the one you have proven, la'avdecha l'Yitzchak, which is the only place where they sort of say for Yitzchak. Why? Cave and shehi gomalas chasadim, oh, because Rivka, if she does not just gemilas chesed, but gemilas chasadim ma'od, exceptional midas chesed, v'hi b'midas chesed, Tamtik ha-gevuros shel Yitzchak, that will sweeten all the judgment that's contained within Yitzchak. Which means that Rivka was meant to bring balance to Yitzchak. It's many times, it's hard to talk about these kinds of things, but many times you ask a young boy or a young girl, what are you looking for? And they say, someone kind, someone thoughtful, someone, so I like someone who likes sports, I like these kinds of, and what we're learning is that Hashem has to sort of laugh at that, kivyachol, because Hashem knows that people are getting, you know, within the intricacies of their midos. And that's what we're seeing here, that because Yitzchak was so far to the side of Gevura, Rivka has to come and balance that with her gemelas chasad in ma'od. V'kam b'zivug Yitzchak im Rivka. So he says that you should know when Yitzchak and Rivka finally get married, ha'yigmar mitu Gevuras Yitzchak, that is the completion of the balance, of the sweetening of all the judgment that was within Yitzchak. Now we know that already started with the Akedah. And let me clarify something. This is very important. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are so great as you know, even beyond the level of human beings. They're so great that when Rivka tempers Yitzchak's Gevura with her chesed, when she tempers his judgment with her kindness, she's also tempering or balancing the judgment and the kindness of the universe. And really, all of us are doing that too whenever we adjust our midos. It's just we're smaller people, so we make smaller differences. But Yitzchak, who's greater, so when Yitzchak exists in the world right now, before Yitzchak is married, or let's say go back even further, before the Akedah, Yitzchak is such a powerful source for judgment that judgment exists in the world. I'll you know, show you the minute that they were told. That Yitzchak is going to be born, Hashem says, oh, we have to destroy Sodom. That's the next pasuk, right? Because Yitzchak introduces this Gevura. So now Avram says, listen, if we're going to have that kind of Gevura in the world, it's not going to work. I'm going to send Eliezer, and he's going to find this perfect balance to Yitzchak. So he says, yes, please.
Is that when he said Yitzchak didn't go to find the wife?
Right. Yeah, on some level, again, the Zerah Kodesh doesn't say this, kind of reading it into his words, but I think we see that from experience, that when people sort of go looking for themselves, they don't always recognize what's best for them, but more about what works, right? And so here, you have to send someone else, because what we're actually looking for is someone who counterbalances. And not in a way, because it's not opposition, right? It's balance. Because Avram already, to some degree, fixed Yitzchak by binding him on the Akedah. Yitzchak represents Gevura. And binding Yitzchak in Shemayim, that was binding the Gevura. You know how much binding that did? Is that we still daven, we say to Hashem, in the merit of the Akedah, you should... Why do we get merit? Because they did something. It's because they tied down judgment and limited judgment and increased mercy in the world. And so Avram starts the process. But it couldn't be completed through his father. The process, and that's always the way it needs to be, had to be concluded when he gets married to his wife. That's why you'll notice that it says, when Eliezer davens for this test to succeed, he says, and with this I will know that you have done chesed Im Adoni. Could have said Im Avraham, could have said with me, right? But he says Im Adoni, trying to invoke the mastership of Avraham, which really is alluding to the mastership of Hashem, Ad Hashem, Kenal Shashem Adnos Yimtuk B'chesed, because he was Asisa Chesed Im Adoni, means to put Chesed into the din. Almost translates into the words, right? V'cholam Tokis Elu. And all of this process Eliezer is doing, and that's all because Eliezer is invoking the 13 attributes of mercy. So where are the 13 attributes of mercy? Okay, so again, you read the story, and don't take away from the pshat. There was literal Eliezer, there was a literal Yitzchak, and a literal Lavan, and a literal camels. But on a deeper level, yes?
When you read the There is no mention of ideas in the talk show.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, that's what we're saying. That first of all, it's his role as a servant. Let me address that question because that's important to know here. The question was, why doesn't it actually mention Eliezer's name? And as the answer is, because there's a little bit of a question about Eliezer. You know, who is he? He's the Rosh Hashiva in the yeshiva of Avram Avinu, which makes it seem like he was his dolo mashka, right? He was drawing the Torah of Avram Avinu and giving it to others. And yet, Masechet Sofrim tells us that Eliezer becomes Og Melech HaBashan and hates the Jewish. Like, so to avoid all those complications, we're going to say like this. Who is Eliezer? He's the son of Nimrod, according to many. He's going to be the one to go do all these things? The answer is he's not the one doing all these things. He was cursed that he should be a slave. That was the curse given to his family. And he turned it into a blessing. Because a slave of a king is kind of like a king. When he shows up, when the slave of the king shows up in the fish market and says, I want a fish, all the noblemen step aside for the slave of the king who's come here to buy fish for the king. Why is everyone honoring this slave? The answer is because right now he's representing the king. Eliezer is such an Eved Tov. His name doesn't appear because there is no Eliezer in the story. He's nullified himself to his servitude to Abraham, and that's why he does such an incredible job in the process of finding the right wife, is because he nullifies himself. And as we'll see soon, the reason why this is such an important introduction is because a lot of this is not Eliezer, it's the angel. But in order for that to happen, Eliezer has to get out of his own way. He has to do as little as possible. He has to interfere as little as possible. And that's why he's very much hands-off in this whole process and doesn't do a more intricate test. Yes?
I think I learned one time, Rebbe, is this correct, that Eliezer is a person who formulated the word Hashem Tzadzah in the first one answer? Is he the author of it?
Maybe.
Right, it says that Eliezer wanted the shidduch for his daughter, no?
That's a whole separate parasha, yeah. It's a different parasha. Right. So Vizesh Shekasov, and in fact, I would say to you, just on the vart that you're bringing up, the Vilna Gaon, Eli, Ulai, you know, the whole vart, is the hole where Eliezer appears in the story, right? Because otherwise, he's got himself out of it. It's just he couldn't help himself with Avraham. That leaked out. But that shows that everywhere else, it was okay. Vizesh Shekasov, let's learn a new pshat about camels. Vizesh Shekasov, it says, Vihine omed al hagemalim. Behold, he's standing over the camels. Kikasu b'zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar says, Yud Gimel Mechilan Derachmi Inan Geus Hashem. The Zohar refers to the 13 attributes of mercy as the Geus, grandeur of Hashem. Why? Hashem Malach, we say on Friday night, on Friday morning too. Hashem Malach, Hashem is king. Geus Lavesh, Hashem is adorned in grandeur. Now what is Geus Lavesh? What does it mean Hashem is adorned in grandeur? It means Hashem's in charge. And Hashem does whatever he wants. And even if someone's not deserving, Hashem says, these are my children, these are my people, I'm going to give them anyway. That's Hashem, Malach, Hashem is king, Geus Lavesh, dressed in grandeur, things go as he wants. So he says, Gamal, the word Gamal is Rosh HaTevis, Malach, Geus Lavesh. And what Mora Alislabshus Hashem Yizbarach, B'yud Gimel Midas Rachmim, Geus Hashem, the Gamal, in this Parsha, the camels in the world below, but in Shamayim, they represented that Hashem was opening up the channels of the 13 attributes of mercy. The word gamal means to give. Hashem was just bestowing goodness at this time. V'zesh anemar, v'hu omed ala gamalim, means shehimshech, he brought down, yud gimel midas rachmim, the 13 attributes of mercy. And with taking out the Kabbalistic element and just saying it in the world of pshat, the camels are here to represent gemilas chasadim of Avraham Avinu. And the Gemilas Chasadim of Avraham Avinu is what earns Chesed from Shamayim. So by bringing the camels represent the mercy, and so Eliezer was therefore, just by having camels there, that was part of the davening for mercy. But on a deeper level, camels represent a specific kind of mercy, the 13 attributes of mercy. That's what he's adding even more into this story. Yes?
Is that why the test was that, I mean, there could have been other kindnesses that that show, but why specifically was it part of the test that she had to feed the camels?
Right, yeah. Everything to do with the camels is going to be about this, because it's really about how well, pun intended, does Rivka draw down, again pun intended, the 13 attributes of mercy. That's really what the test is. And what in the realm of Gamal, what can she bring down? Because if Yitzchak is going to be in this world, he's going to invoke a lot of judgment unless there's a balance. If we want Yaakov Avinu to be born, who is the Midah of Emes, this perfectly balanced human being who represents Adam before creation, in order for that to happen, there has to be a Yitzchak, but there has to be a Rivka. So he says, now he's moving to the end of the story, an amazing thing that most people, even if you learn on an elementary level, here, this part of the story, people kind of get confused. Yitzchak goes out to daven in the fields, Lifnos Erev, and he lifts up his eyes and he saw camels coming. What do you learn from this pasuk? It's just telling you that Yitzchak saw camels coming. Then it tells you, Batisa Rivka, I say now, Rivka does the same thing. She opens her eyes, and she sees Yitzchak, so she falls from the camel. What does that teach you? What's going on here? What's really happening? So says the Heidegger Rapshut to Zayda, here's what's really happening. He goes out to daven in the field towards evening. So he says, from the time of the Akedah, when he allowed himself to be bound, he was also allowing his own judgment to be sweetened, and he started looking at things in this positive light as well, fixing and bringing goodness to the world. Something which before the Akedah wouldn't have been possible. But now after the Akedah, so he started to do that. So when he's davening in the field, Chakal Tapuch and Kadishin, what's the field? That's the field of the holy apples. Right? That's the field of Gan Eden. That's the field of the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael. Bechinas Malchus, that's the realm of the Shechina, the attribute of Malchus. So he's davening for his children, for his Einiklach, for his Urei Niklach, for all of his descendants. Yitzchak, who should have been judgment, is davening for good things. Lifnos Erev, towards evening, she was Esarurus Adinim, because we know by Mincha, towards evening, is the time of judgment. So Yitzchak says, Halach Lam Tikam, Bechinas Malchus. So Yitzchak says, nope, I, after the Akedah, Ve'yetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada, he's going to bring sweetness and goodness and kindness into the world. Of course, he's trying to. He's missing some of that because he needs Rivka. So, let's delve into the Kabbalistic for a second. A little gematria is here. He says, Yitzchak gematria dalet pa'amim shem ben. Yitzchak is gematria 4 times 52. Yitzchak is 208, which is 4 times 52. And what's 52? So, there are 4 ways to spell Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, Yud-Hei-Vav-En-Hei. But each of those letters can be expanded. So Yud can be Yud Vav Dalet, which is 20. Hey is Hey Hey. Now it could be spelled Hey Aleph or Hey Yud, but we're doing Hey Hey, which is 10. So we're up to 30. Vav brings you to 42. And Hey Hey brings you to 52. So 4 times 52 is Yitzchak. Why? So he explains really very simply. Because Yud Kei Vav Kei is Hashem's name. Whether it's spelled with Hayes or an Aleph or a Yud is really up to us. Because we're the ones who daven to Hashem and we invoke the Midos of Hashem. So he's going to tell us that Yitzchak had this special power to sweeten the judgment. How do you sweeten judgment? How do you sweeten the judgment in Shammai? What is the number one best way to make sure that all the judgments in Shammai turn into mercy? Really very simple. I know davening helps, but doing mitzvahs and learning Torah and doing mitzvahs is the best way to bring goodness into the world. Because when you're doing mitzvahs, he's going to say, Hashem receives those mitzvahs. you become the masculine, and Kaviyachol Hashem, so to speak, becomes the feminine. So then, both those heys become hey, because that's feminine. And so the name of Hashem, Yud Vav Dalet, hey, Vav, hey, or the Shem Ben, as we call it, the Shem that's 52, is the name where Hashem is receiving. There are four realms of creation. Yitzchak was such a great tzaddik that he was doing mitzvahs that was elevating to all four levels of creation, and therefore 4 times 52 is 208. That's why his name is Yitzchak. His name is Yitzchak because he is bringing a sweetening to the judgments through the Shem Nun Beis, the Shem 52, and to become Yitzchak 208. I'm going to say this again. A lot of this is complicated Torah. Whatever you get, you get. But the Vort here, that's the deeper layers underneath, that's really where the focus should be on this Avodah. So we'll sort of sort through that. But let me read that inside. Yitzchak Gematria Dalet Ha'amim Shem Ben. Yitzchak is 4 times 52, the name of Hashem. Shushem Avaya B'milu Heyin, which is the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, when you spell it with Heys, Yud Vav Dalet Hey, Vav Hey. Shu Os Hey, Moral Nukva, the letter Hey, is the letter of femininity. Shekashak Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekabu V'lokeach Kav Yochel Tainu, Miyam Krovo Yisrael Atzmo Yisbarach Shmo, because when Hashem receives the pleasure of our mitzvos, Nismali Shem Avaya Yisbarach Shmo B'milu Heyin, we fill Hashem's names with Heys. So that we create that the realm of the universe should be run through this Yud Vav Dal, hey, etc. Well, he was named before he was born, right? Hashem said what to name him. That's what he's saying. Hashem knew. Sheyeh kem b'chol dalad olamos, atzilus, bria, yitzira, asiya, because Yitzchak does this in all four worlds. Shebekulam is ora atayning azeh, all of the universes are filled with Hashem receiving the pleasure of his mitzvahs. Through all four worlds, that's 4 times Shem Ben, Gematria Yitzchak, and he repeats himself. He's in the field, in the realm of Malchus, in the feminine. That's why the Zohar says that when Yitzchak gets married. Finish the sign. When Yitzchak gets married, it actually has four stages in his marriage. It says, "Vayivieha Yitzchak ha'oel asari imo." Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sari imenu. That's actually one realm of creation that Yitzchak and Rivka are fixing. Then, "Vayikach es Rivka." He took Rivka. This is from the Zohar. That's the second level of world that they're fixing. Then it says, "Vatihilo liisha." She became his wife. This is a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah, like, she became his wife. So that's when they fixed the third realm of creation. And then it says, Vayahaveha, and he loved her. Vayinachem Yitzchak Achrim, he was consoled after his mother. That's the fourth realm of creation. And the Zohar HaKadosh refers to this as Yitzchak's four wives. Meaning, he only had one wife, Rivka, but they had to fix on all four levels. Yaakov, of course, does the same thing. Four different women. That's what the Zohar is trying to say. But Yitzchak and Rivka, they went through their relationship on all four realms of creation, and the Torah is alluding to that. Suddenly, Yitzchak is out there and he's davening for his Yidden, for his Eniklach, for Klal Yisrael. Vayisa Einav, he lifts up his eyes, Vayar, and he sees Vinei Gemalim Bayim, that the camels are coming. He sees that the channels for mercy have been opened. Why have the channels for mercy been opened? He hasn't been able to open channels of mercy like this into the world. So why do you think the channels of mercy are suddenly opening? Rivka's coming. Yeah, before we go on, you had a question?
No, it wasn't really a question. It was just a comment that Hashem would be rough at us from the whole is 52 also, and that's Yitzchak. We say it's Ben.
Yeah, that's a great connection. I'm glad you actually mentioned that the Bekol is 52, which is Ben. Right? And I was like, he was Ocha to a Ben. Well, yeah, did you miss the whole parsha? Right? The answer is, in the Kabbalistic realm, that it's all this. Right? Yitzchak is Ben, which is the name associated with Hashem accepting our mitzvahs and then just opening up the channels of mercy. And Yitzchak is actually four times Ben, representing that in all four worlds, which is why he marries Rivka on four levels.
Do we know what fixing of each of the worlds? Like, what does that mean? That fixing
Well, and simply put, yeah, they were filled with judgment. They were not open to accepting people like us or people like me, to be able to live through this world and still receive Hashem's mercy and kindness and forgiveness and all of that. Like we said, when Yitzchak is born, Sodom is destroyed. Like, okay, let's get rid of bad people. And Avram has to bind him down, and then Rivka is going to further balance him.
So he was born as Dan, yet his name is Yitzchak.
Yitzchak is Din, right? Laughter is Din. I know we tend to think of laughter as kindness, but laughter is actually shock. Right? And there's other terms, but laughter is really an act of judgment, much more than that. Okay. What? Why did she fall off? Oh, we're not up to there. We'll see, right? So Yitzchak lifts up his eyes, and what we're saying is he sees Rivka coming, but what he really sees is a whole new universe. Right? Suddenly, there's all these attributes of mercy that are heading towards him, and really it's Rivka. Right? So he says, "Vayisa enav yarvi negmalim bam." These camels are coming. Vayisa enav shenasa atzma lebechin elyon. He's up in this high world, this elevated world. Shenikra ayin. That's the place beyond. Shemayin yavo ezri. That's, we know that one of the segulas for a shidduch, of a person who's a shidduch, is to say Shir Amalos Eso Einai Elaharim, to recite that chapter of Tehillim at the closing of the Shemona Esrei, near where one puts in the pasuk for their name, before Yilaratzim, maybe after Yilaratzim, but it's brought down in Holy Svarim, a big, big skula, to say Shir Amalos Eso Einai Elaharim, because the opening line is Meayin yavo ezri. From where will my help come? But Me'ayin doesn't really mean from where, from whence. There's a realm of Shemayim, the place called Ayin, beyond where we can comprehend. That Me'ayin, from Ayin, Yavo Ezri, will come the Ezer Kenegdo. That's how the Sfarim explained it. So he's saying that Yitzchak sees Me'ayin, Yavo Ezri. V'sham eni ashkechasa, and v'sham eni ashkechasa la'ativo miyud gimel midas rachmim. And suddenly there's this flow of mercy. V'chanosi es asher achon. I will ingratiate those who I ingratiate. Af b'sheni kedai, even though they're not deserving. V'hagun, they're not fitting. Mashkiach Hashem is baruch Hashem, still watches them. V'deshnem ini gemalim ba'im. What's the gemal? Hashem malach geus lavesh. That's Hashem's grandeur. Yud gimel midas rachmim and geus Hashem. So he sees the 13 attributes of mercy coming. Okay, the next paragraph, if the Rapshitzer wouldn't say it, if you tried to say this, I'd throw you out of the Beis Medrash, right? If I tried to say it, I'd throw myself out of the Beis Medrash. Okay, but I'm going to read these words, and Baruch Hashem, you haven't heard this before. V'shala Rivka. So Rivka, she then turns and says, Mi ha'ish ha'lazeh, ha'olech b'sdei l'chakal t'apuchin ganal. Who is this tzaddik who is davening for all these future generations, who's tempering all these judgments? Vayomer ha'eved, says the eved to her, Hu Adoni. You know what Adoni means? Adayin hu begvura ktas. I know you're seeing him daven for his descendants, and you're seeing how his judgments have been tempered, but Hu Adoni, he's still judgment. Bevchinas shem ad Hashem. Kavanaso, and he's telling her, Shiyamitog ayidei azivog, you have to fix the rest of him. Now, this may lead to this concept that it's believed that it's the job of some people to fix other people, right? And that would be true if you would have nevuah min hashamayim about what you're supposed to fix, right? But in this case, Yitzchak is all this gevura, and Rivka sees that Yitzchak is tempered, and he said, no, he still needs fixing. So that's why the first thing he does is he brings her into the tent of Sarah Imenu. And here are the words of the Rapshitzer. Shekemosha Avram hayetafel l'Sarah b'nevuah. We know that Avraham was secondary to Sarah Imenu in Nevuah. That the Holy Sfarim write about the greatness of the Nevuah of Sarah Imenu. And beyond her husband Avram, and that's what Gemash Amr Chazal, a pasuk, Kol Asher Tomer Elecha Sarah, Shema Bekola, hear to her voice, and the Mefarshim tell us that the word Bekola is the key here, because it's her Ruach HaKodesh. Says the Rapshitzer, Kain Rivka, Haise B'makam Sarah Ima, Rivka is in the place of Sarah Imenu, his mother, V'Yitzchak tafel la, and Yitzchak is secondary to her in prophecy. She's really interesting because, number one, Rivka is not one of the seven prophetesses. And although she experiences Nevuah, that may just be a technicality because she's not a prophetess for future generations. We're going to take that approach. But in terms of who she is, the Rav Shitter is telling us, again, if someone else said this, that Rivka, just like Sarah was greater than Abraham, Rivka was greater than Yitzchak. It's interesting that when she tells Yaakov Avinu, she says, Shema Bekoli. Right? She also uses the word kol. You'll see that term appears a lot. But he's saying, V'nimtu gurosa b'yada, shahisa b'chinas chesed, because Rivka was greater than Yitzchak, she produces you picture it like this. I know this is not really a mathematical equation. But if Yitzchak is gevura, and Rivka would only be some chesed, that would create a 50-50 balance. But we know Hashem doesn't have a 50-50 balance. Hashem is mate klape chesed. Hashem leans towards kindness. So Rivka, therefore, has to be greater than Yitzchak to counterbalance his judgment, even though it had already been somewhat counterbalanced. But the introduction of Rivka brings this balance into their relationship. Is that Shekasov? Yeah, amazing, amazing concept. V'zeh shekasav, hakreina lefanai hayom. So, the word hayom keeps appearing. The day. And the way Rashi learns it is because he's trying to emphasize the fact that he left today and he arrived today, so that kvitzas aderech, the speed on the road, is a sign of Hashem's support in the process. But he's going to learn a little differently. Ki yom b'chinas chesed, the day represents kindness. If the night represents judgment, the day represents kindness. And as he explained it earlier in the pasuk, and so the Kel Havaya, the two names Kel, Aleph Lamed, and Havaya, Yudke Vavke, Kel is 31 and Havaya is 26, you put them together and you get 57. Which is the name of the this is the same gematria as the word yom in makol plus one. So yom is the same gematria as kel and havaya because day is mercy. So what he's saying is hakre la lefanai hayom, give me chesed and do chesed with Adoni yumtak bechesed yom. Basically, what I've been teaching you in this Torah is that this whole process was alamtakas gevuros, was the purpose of this, was to sweeten the judgments. Sweeten the judgments, I have used these words, they need explanation, but it means that there is judgment in the world for people who do bad things and for the world in general, it's not deserving. And if the world would run according to judgment, it would be destroyed. Hashem saw the world could not be created with the attribute of judgment, so Hashem partnered it with the attribute of mercy. That attribute of judgment has a name. His name is Yitzchak, and the attribute of mercy that he partners it with is Rivka. That's really what's happening in this parsha. So, you think Eliezer can do all that? Of course, it's the angels. So he says, "B'chol pulasu shel Eliezer al inyan zeh ki Eliezer avdu amosha b'chal ashelo who b'chinas matat hamalach." Really, what's running this is the angel matat. Now we don't have time to get into the angel matat. His full name is Memtes Tes Reish Vav Nun, which is the numerical value of 314, which is the same numerical value as Shem Shakai, and that's why Rashi tells us when Hashem says, "Yanochi shalech, I'm going to send my angel before you." Rashi says that's the angel matat, right? So this angel that Hashem is going to send in the Midbar, that's the angel that's here with Eliezer. Hanikra Eved, Chanoch, Nar. He's referred to Evi the Eved. He's the Chanoch. He's referred to as Nar. We don't have time for all these terms. And he's the angel who Hashem puts in charge of the world. In other words, just like Avram has a servant Eliezer, Hashem has the servant Matat. And when Avram sends Eliezer, Hashem sends Matat. All this is to sweeten the judgment of Yitzchak. Going back to the Medrash, we're almost done with this. Eved Maskil, the wise servant, the Eliezer, Yimshol will rule over the Ben Mevish, the son who shamed the rest of the world, the Yitzchak, because the Eliezer Omiz Lamatat, he represents this angel, who's here, Yimshol be Yitzchak, Lam to Gvorosav. His job is to try to overcome the judgment of represented by Yitzchak. How does this happen? How does Eliezer manage to connect to such high places. He's a servant. And at the beginning of the story, he's cursed. Now you'll understand. Masha Amalo. So Avram tells him, Simna yadcha tachas yerechi, place your hand beneath my thigh. He's giving him the mitzvah. Avram performed the mitzvah of Bris Milah. He's the first one to do Bris Milah. He gave him, he said, put your hand beneath my thigh. Really, take the merit of the Bris Milah. And that's the angel, the Malach HaBris, Hanikra Malach HaGoel. So he says, you look at the words, Hu Yishlach Malacho Lefanecha, Hu. Starts with a Hey, Yishlach Yud Malacho Mem Lefanecha, Rosh Tevez Milah. He will send the angel. Which angel? Every mitzvah you do creates an angel. And so he sent him with Evezeshen Emekan, Kishisipar Eliezer Lelavan, B'shem Avram Shamar, he says, Asher Hisalachti Lefanav Yishlach Malacho. Again, Hisalachti Lefanav Yishlach Malacho is Rosh Tevez Milah. Masha Amakan Yishlach Malacho Itach. So when Avram says, Hashem will send his angel with you, Eliezer says, Itach. Avram Amar Lefanecha, meanwhile, Avram had only said before you. That's because Eliezer Ratzel Lahoris, Sheesh Lagam Achizu, Bebechinas Malach Abris, that he's actually connected to the Malach, etc. We're going to leave this here. Let me review this, because a lot was said. But the Torah here is a very deep Torah that we all have to realize. The Medrash tells us that there was some kind of overcoming of Eliezer over Yitzchak, that there was some control of the servant overcoming the son of the master. So he goes back and says that Hashem created this world. Hashem really wants to do only good things. But you can't have a world like that, so Hashem created judgment. So the names Ekiah, Aleph Yudhe, the name of Hashem before creation, and the name Yudke Vavke during creation, and the name Aleph Dalad Nun Yud, which is where Hashem runs the world based on the judgments that we're supposed to be living in. We say Kel Adon, we're trying to sweeten those judgments. Eliezer is asking Hashem that Yitzchak is the attribute of judgment, and Rivka is going to come out, she's going to be the attribute of chesed. And so that's asisa chesed im Adoni. This whole challenge is all to find someone who's the perfect counterbalance to Yitzchak. Camels represent Hashem's divine mercy. Hashem malach geus lavish. They represent, the word gamal means to just give. And there's a midah of Hashem, where Hashem just gives to us even if we're not deserving. That's why he quotes here, someone who sees a camel in a dream, it's because he's receiving mercy. Right? May have run through that. Yitzchak, on the other hand, although he's been partially tempered by the Akedah, his name, Yitzchak, which represents the Shem Ben, four times, that represents the fact that he is such a big tzaddik, that he's sending up so many mitzvahs to Shemayim, that Kaviyachol, he becomes like the masculine, and Hashem is receiving his mitzvahs. That is the greatest way to fix the world, is when we send up Torah and mitzvahs, when we do great things in this world. And Yitzchak is trying to do that to sweeten the world, but he doesn't realize that there's still a lot of judgment in him. Suddenly, he opens his eyes and he sees way more mercy than he's ever been able to invoke in this world. And he's wondering what's coming, and really it's Rivka. Meanwhile, Rivka, she sees, wait, he's davening for the children, he's sending up mitzvahs, he's already sweetened. And Eliezer says, no, hu Adoni, he still needs to be tempered. And so Yitzchak is going to have to go through this process of marrying Rivka. And in their relationship, there seems to be four levels within their connection. So he's saying that each time is Yitzchak and Rivka connecting in a deeper way in order to bring a balance to the universe, to bring about Yaakov Avinu. That's the four wives of Yaakov, but Yitzchak has it in the... So that's going to happen through this process, and that's what he tells us. The big chiddush, that just like Sarah was greater than Avraham Avinu, so too Rivka is greater than Yitzchak, and that's why she needs to be there to counterbalance, because mercy has to be greater than judgment. You know, the Gemara tells us, "L'olam yeh smol docha v'yamin makariv." When you push away with your left hand, and you bring close with your right hand. Some people are not good at that. Some people, when they get angry at their children, they push them away too much. They need a little Rivka in their life. They need a little Yud Gimel Midas Shal Rachmim in their life and all the judgments that we have. Because when we live this way with that kind of judgment, we also cause that kind of judgment in the universe. And so you have to have Rivka to counterbalance it. And so that's how they find Hayom. They bring all this chesed into the world through Rivka, who does these acts of kindness that tempers Yitzchak. But Eliezer can't do this himself. He doesn't know what he's doing. Right? So instead, it's the Malach that's going with him. But how does Eliezer connect to the Malach? How do you create that connection? The answer is through one mitzvah. Right, the mitzvah of Bris Milah of Avraham Avinu and all the Rosh HaTevis where that word appears. But the point is that when he connects to the Bris Milah, he's connected to the mitzvah that gives him the ability to go down to Aram Narayim and have this malach with him every step of the way to make sure that all the everything goes the way it needs to go so that Rivka can appear before Yitzchak. And for us, we should know that this is a Torah about Yitzchak and Rivka. But you should know that every time that a shidduch occurs, it involves these kinds of calculations min hashamayim. As we say, ma'asei avos siman labanim, and that what happened to them is a sign for what happened to us. So it doesn't just mean Esav chased Yaakov, and so Esav chases us too. The rest of the parashas also apply. So we should know that when it comes to the process of shidduchim, that's what the Zohar Kodesh is teaching you. It's not just people and personalities, but it's mamash shemus of Hashem. Mamish shemus of Hashem that are being intercalated and calculated when Hashem is putting people together. And the midos of Hashem that are invoked in this process, and we see this in the case of Yitzchak and Rivka. So while we see the story of camels and people and water and servants and Lavan and Besuel and Rivka and switched plates and all of these things which happen in the physical world, we should know that the tefillos and the mitzvahs, that what they're doing in Shamayim, what's being accomplished, is on a much greater level. May all of us to be zocha to temper our own judgments, to temper the judgments in the world, to find balance within the universe, and we should recognize that Hashem is in charge, Hashem knows what He's doing, and all we have to do is our part to contribute towards the goodness of the world. We should be zeuche to all good things as a result of it. And again, this should be in the zchus for the neshama, chaya basya bas leib, all her descendants also should have this success and see this Yad HaDeshmaya and the Yad Hashem in everything they do, and all the world should see chesed and tov and only good things.
Thank you.
By the way, what?
Recording stopped.
Why? Rivka has to come from such a wonderful family. I'm just being sarcastic.
Right.
What did why her father and her mother deserve? Because of her, they have a place in Shama, in Gan Eden, right?
Yeah. So the Holy Sfarim write that Rivka is actually the son of Avraham and Sarah. And the daughter, I mean, of Avraham and Sarah, that in Shemayim,
yes,
right, and so that's why the Zohar says, I didn't mention this in the class. The Zohar says that Rivka looked like Sarah.
Is it that the reason when Isaac saw her, knew it is not
mother, yeah. Right? So in a way, Besuel and his wife are really surrogate mothering.
Yes.
So they have to be a relative in order to be able to carry it. So that would be, and also in the merit of Haran, etc.
I learned it safe one time that when Rivka was born, Avram sent she had to meet us between Avram all those years and trust and loyal that she would raise Rivka. You know, even though it was a terrible environment, and that's how Rivka also became who she was. Right. Because of this wonderful nurse. That's why I mentioned her death. I gave her
Minek is Rivka, right? Because, very good. All right, that's Shkaich. Only good things.